here is it's really good to see you guys. Genuinely, very good to see you. I like seeing you. All of you.
We like seeing you, Natalie.
While we're doing this, could you guys think of could we kind of get ourselves in a position of worship and maybe some of the younger kids and some of the older people, and we could all shout out something that we're thankful for, something that we're glad about today, first day of the year, 2017.
At the same time? Or?
Jesus.
You want to do it at the same time? That's okay. Jesus.
Awesome. Amen.
Family that I like.
Hello.
Church.
Mm-hmm. Yay. Good answer. Body and
church family.
Yes. Church.
Yeah.
What about some of you young people?
What are you thankful for?
Them in our country.
Awesome. Yeah. What about Tom?
You said young, right?
I'm thankful for Tom.
Young in the heart.
Security in Christ, no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. Even though the mountains may shake, he says, be still, know that I'm God.
Amen.
Help.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Appreciate if you have it.
We have a hope for the future, too. Mm-hmm. A living hope. Mm-hmm. And that is something that, in spite of what's going on in the world and the chaos and the confusion and the distrust and we have a hope in Christ that someday he's coming soon, and it's going to be very soon, and we're going to be out of here, and then he's coming back to this world. He's in control. So that's something to be thankful for.
Yes. Forgiveness.
That's a big one. Somebody one time, you know, all those people that like to say things in a strange way just to be different. Like my brother, Matthew, who should be coming soon.
Not like Jesus, like.
So somebody once said, oh, another trip around the sun, you know, Happy New Year, another trip around the sun. And it's awesome because we're going to start the year singing about God's magnificence and his power. And I'm pregnant, so I might start crying. And it's amazing to think about the fact that we are spinning around the sun, and we're out here in this massive universe, and God is continuing to keep us on this planet and continuing to love us in spite of all of our terrible attitudes and the way we treat other people sometimes. And he's just so incredibly patient. And so I thought, man, like, what a way to start the year, just to say, Lord, I want to take my eyes off of myself. I want to take my eyes off of my little world and remember the vastness of your kingdom, the vastness of your majesty, your great goodness that has allowed us to continue around the sun, to continue on this planet, regardless of the fact that we don't deserve all that he's given us. Yeah. All of you that said mercy and health and family and church, none of these things are rights. These are blessings from the Lord, all of them. And I think that'd be the greatest thing, the gift we could give him this morning, is to just really turn our hearts to him. I'm just going to tell you right now, the music is going to be wanting. Rumsey was supposed to come. He's having health issues, so he can't come. So no guitar, no drummer. So, but let our song today be so big and so strong from our hearts. All the people, we have plenty of people here, that it can really bless him. Even if we don't feel blessed, because it's not an amazing, you know, display. The Lord is blessed by our gratefulness. He's blessed by our thankfulness and our humility, that we recognize he's our God and we are his creation. And all that we have is a blessing from him. All that we have, our breath, our very breath, is a gift from him that he could take away. And he chooses to give us every day in this new day. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful. I can't say I'm thankful for health. I don't. But I'm so thankful for his continuing faithfulness. He's blessed us with the ability to just breathe every day. And not just physically in our lungs, but his spirit too. Which is what gives us eternal life. So we need your help, everybody. Please sing and don't be shy.
We're not shy.
Today.
Can I say in the words of your mother, sing with gumption?
Yes. That's right. All right, George, you want to start us out?
What are you singing?
Mountains?
Oh, my gosh.
Mountains.
Creation's revealing your majesty. From the odors of fall to the fragrance of spring. Unique in the song that it sings, all explaining, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable. Lightning bolt where it should go. As in heavenly storehouses laden with snow. Who imagined the sun and gives source to insight? Yet it conceals it to bring us the coolness of night.
Joy that you give to believers. Amazing joy
that if we're not taking hold of, then we're missing out. Thank you, Lord, for that. He gives us joy in times that the world just can't understand where it's coming from. It's coming from you, Lord, and that's what we want to do, Lord.
Worship you, Lord. Hey guys, let's just transition by just singing. You can lift up your voice. Don't be worried about the person next to you. Let's just tell the Lord, He's our dad. I'm going to start, Lord, by just saying you are good. Father, because our hearts are full of gladness, we just want to speak out to collectively, Lord, you're good. God, lift up your voices and just tell Him He's a good dad. Whatever's on your heart, whatever you are thankful to Him for, man, let's just lift it up. Let's lift up an incense today, right now, before the Lord. Of our praise and our thanksgiving. God, you're so worthy, my name. And thank you, Lord, for being so consistent with us, God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for giving us hearts that seek you. Hallelujah. Keep,
praise you, Jesus.
Keep lifting up, people.
Lord.
Hallelujah. Worthy is your name, God.
Thank
you. Put a new song in our hearts, Lord. Lord, we want to let you know how much we love you, how thankful we are. Thankful, Lord, for a new year. Thankful for your grace, God. Thankful for your joy. Hallelujah. Thank you.
praise the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him in the mighty
Praise Him for His acts of power.
Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and the flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath
praise the Lord.
Lord, I pray, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just want to say thank you again, Lord, for all that you've done, Lord, and that we should, just like that verse that we sent out in that text, Lord, in 1 Samuel, Lord, just consider all the marvelous things that you've done. Lord, I think about how patient you've been, how faithful you've been, Lord God, Lord, to us, to me, Lord God. I thank you that it seems like no matter what the enemy throws against you, you just steamroll right through it, Lord God.
Yes, you do.
That's just so cool, Lord. I just love how you do that, Lord God. I ask that you would instill your faithfulness in us, Lord, that your strength in us, your word in us, Lord, that we would become stronger in you and in your mighty power. I pray that you would blanket us in a cloak or in a coat of humility, Lord. That all that strength that you've given us and all the word that you are building up in us, Lord, would be manifest in love and in humility towards others, Lord, so that the enemy can't point any fingers at us, Lord God. And even if he does, Lord, that your Holy Spirit shines through what we say and what we do, Lord God. Lord, I'm not even looking, Lord. I thank you for all the people who showed up today on the New Year's Day, Lord God. I'm sure some are tired, Lord, but yet they showed anyway. I just pray that you would bless them in Jesus' name. And the ones that didn't show, Lord God, I just pray that same blessing upon them. Lord God, that you would encourage your people, that you would build your people, that you would build up your people, strengthen your people, Lord God. Equip your people to be the ministers that you called each one of us to be and each one of them to be. Ministers of your word, ministers of your Holy Spirit, ministers of the gospel. That reflects our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for your time, this to be your time from beginning to end, Lord, that whatever is planned, you would erase whatever is in our own minds or my mind, Lord, and your Holy Spirit would just lead. I thank you for even giving the word out, Lord, in the middle of the teaching. Different people, the same Holy Spirit, Lord, you're speaking to people, Lord. Today, we would just listen to what your Holy Spirit has to say to us. You're so awesome, Lord. Give us listening ears to hear it, what your Holy Spirit has to say today, and take control of everything, including us, as a body and as individuals. In Jesus' name, and me, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Chris, can you grab this? Oh, flesh for a second. Well, we did have people show up. As for the people calling saying, hey, we're on vacation, hey, we're not going to be here, hey, we're sick, hey, we're here. And so last night somebody was talking to somebody and they said, it might just be us there. I said, that's okay. If it is, that's okay. It'll just be us. But God has brought many more of you out, and that's really awesome to see. And thank you guys also for the Christmas Eve service. And just out of curiosity, did anybody show up Christmas Day? Okay, no good. Well, we had that Christmas Eve service, and of course, I've got to stop with my little... So, we've never done a Christmas Eve service, so I thought, you know, how many people will really come? Maybe it could be like 10 people, 15 people. So, but I said, you know what? I said, let's just get a lot of food. Let's just get food for like 70 to 100 people. And then we'll send all that food back with everybody who comes. Really bless them. Right? This place was packed. There was food for 70 to 100 people, and there's nothing left. There's crumbs. It's all we had left. And I don't even know if you noticed this, but like God just did so many neat things. I thought Josh had a really unique perspective on things, and it was really kind of cool. But even one family that was there, I don't know if you noticed, all the palm trees, all the trees in the entire property here were all taken care of. And then when you go out there, just look at all the trees are raised up, all the palm trees are trimmed up, everything was done, thousands of dollars worth. They came to that service, somebody invited them, one of you guys invited them, and they loved it. Multiple people gave them presents, different, just to bless them in Jesus' name. And they were so blessed, they came back and they worked all day on the property. I was here at 6:30 at night and they were still working on the property. Wow. Taking stuff, trimming trees, hauling thousands. They did it all for free. Wow. Wow. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Okay, so I got to tell you this. Okay, I know not everybody's here, so I'll probably have to repeat it. You'll have to hear it again. But big deal. You guys are the first. You guys are the first responders. Okay. So not only did that happen, okay, all that stuff was just a blessing of the Lord, right? Okay, not only that, but you know how we needed additional funds for the school? You know, it was like $5,000. Now, for some churches, that's like a drop in the bucket. For us, it's a big tidal wave. So, anyway, somebody to be able to get more students in our Christian school, and because people have wanted to come in, we just can't fit them. And so somebody donated the entire amount in Jesus' name out of nowhere. Who does that but God?
That's right.
And it wasn't about giving it glory. They didn't even want anybody to know. They just want to give all the glory to the Lord. This is that cool. And, well, there's another blessing, but I'll tell you about that next week.
Oh. Anyway, yeah.
There's another cool blessing, but I'll save that.
You
blessing.
Know, oh,
no, sorry. You got to have glory. Sorry. You'll have to wait. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, hey, and thanks. I don't know if I will click the thing. Do I? Or did you already give it to me, George, and I already sent it down somewhere?
No, got it right here.
Thanks. The car. Yep, look here.
Give him the flicker.
My clicky thing, my clicker. Not to be confused with a flicker. Okay, so here we go. Okay, so first, we have so much, I'm not kidding, so much Panera bread. Literally, there's a few hundred loaves of bread. We hit the mother load. We've got sweets. Like, of course, I knew this would be the smallest. You know, I'm like, oh man, New Year's Day. They don't have service. Yes, we're having service. And so we've got so much Panera sweets. I would say literally like $1,000 worth of sweets and breads. Take home loaves of bread for yourself, all different kinds. I think if everybody took like two or three loaves or four loaves, we'd still have plenty left over. So, but take what you want, Susie.
Well, you have it all. Can we take some to Loving Hands?
If there's any left over, yes. I want to make sure that I want some too. But 100%, yeah, absolutely. So, but please take some free in Jesus' name, and
we can give them to our neighbors.
You can. That's a good way to just to bless
them. And to witness to them and say this is
absolutely
a New Year's gift.
100%. Yep. So take it in Jesus' name. Okay, I put this in here. Is he in church yet? Yes. Jasper Edward Smith is in church. Blessings on little Jasper in the back.
Yay! Yay.
He is must have got it. Not from Jeff. No, sorry, Jeff. Okay. And then we also have Saturday, January 14th. You guys know Winter Jam, $10, 10 bands for $10. You guys already know about that. Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna equipping ministry. I'm gonna hold off on some of this stuff. All this stuff we give away free. We'll just wait until next week. You guys know. This week we've got men's Bible study in 2 Samuel on Tuesday at 6 p.m. I know Gary's not here, he's with his family today. Also, Thursday we have barbecue and Bible study. Yes, we will be having it this week in 1 Kings, I believe. And then also, thank you for everybody who participated in the Jingle Bell Run. Okay, well, so, isn't that a cute picture? Mm-hmm. Okay, I just gotta, I did finish, I wasn't last.
You weren't.
I was not last. I was very proud of myself. And Elijah, man, he blew everybody away. He did it in like 27 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. And he's like, man, I can go faster. So we have another one coming up, and I'm going to ask, not today, maybe next week or the week after, we've got another 5K coming up, so walk or run. I did it in about an hour. Sunday in 27 minutes. Anyway, it's like for foster care awareness and adoption, and it's an event for the whole family, and it's to benefit a bridge of life. It's a superhero race. Everybody dresses up as superheroes. They have a superhero contest, the best family, best costume, fastest runner, fastest walker, oldest runner, whatever the case may be. And that's going to begin at 9 a.m., at Nathan Benderson Park, and I think the actual date, I think they didn't put it up here.
3:30.
It's wake
up earlier than
yeah, that's a little kid's run, but the 5K begins at 9. But anyway, that's in a month or two if you want to start walking and getting ready. Yes, all the money goes to Bridge of Life, and then
February 18th.
Was it?
February 18th.
February 18th. And then, Heather, maybe either next week or the week after, I'd like you to share a little bit about Rhythm of Life, if you feel like you feel led. And just so they all know it's benefiting a good cause, all the money being raised. Okay. We are in the book of Romans. And we just finished 9, thank you, which talked about God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. Hey, Joe, if you wouldn't mind grabbing some Bibles, and if anybody needs a Bible, raise your hand, and Joe and Joe will give one to you. Joe Hawk, as he's commonly known in the school. And now we are in Romans 10, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord be saved. We spent an hour in the first 2 verses, and then we spent verse 1 and 2, and then we spent another hour up to about verse 9, I think. So why don't we take a minute, and why don't we just go around and maybe read a verse each till we get up to verse, let's say, 8 or up to 9. So you want to start us off, and we'll just kind of go around the outer perimeter here. So if you read verse 1, Elijah, Romans chapter 10, verse 2. 3, 4, you get the idea. Right. If you don't want to read, just say pass. We don't want to make you feel dumb. You don't want to. Okay.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved.
First 2, Elijah. Romans chapter 10.
Okay,
Joe, go ahead.
For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge.
Right?
Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness.
For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes.
Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them.
But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down.
Or who will descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead.
But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. Is it gone? No. Wait a minute. I didn't finish.
Yep.
Come back.
Now.
All right. Is it in your heart? That is the word of faith we are proclaiming.
That's right.
Pass the Lord.
That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Mm-hmm.
For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved.
As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame.
For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
We'll stop right there. Now, first, I'm just going to hug this guy real quick. Okay, so we left off roughly around verse 9, and so just real quickly, if we have time at the end, what I'd like to do too is I'd like you to think of one thing that the Lord, if there's time, one thing maybe the Lord has taught you this year, this past year. And if you have a scripture to go along with it or a biblical principle, even one thing that the Lord has taught you, you know, and you feel led to share it, we'd love you to share it if there's time. So I'll let you think about that. But it says in verse 9 that if you confess, actually it says in verse 8, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith proclaiming. You know, and that's one thing I just want to encourage you. You know, that's a good question to ask. The word is near you, right? The living word, Jesus. You know, he'll never leave you or forsake you. And the word of God is near you. Do you realize that his word is so close to you at almost at any point in your day. If anybody doesn't have a Bible at their home, we'll give you one free in Jesus' name. There are teachings, Bible teachings going on all the time on the radio. We'll give you teachings. We'll give you things to strengthen you in the Word. Anything you want, Bible commentary, anything, because the Word is near you. We want it to be in your heart and on your tongue and in your life, because the Word of God changes life. That's the seed that's being scattered. And I don't say this in an attacking way, but I am overwhelmed by the bad teaching, the folks who just, their Bible knowledge is from a teacher they've heard, or from YouTube, or from, you know, what they've watched on TV, and they don't know what the whole Word of God says. I am blown away. My poor heart. The Word of God must be so near. It must be in us. It must be what we breathe and live and talk out. It should be the natural thing that comes out of our mouth. Not like, you know, the complaints or the grumbling or the whatever. The Word of God must be so near, it should be on our tongue. Deuteronomy, it says, I want you to talk about it with your children. When you lie down, when you wake up, it should be just something that rolls off your tongue. Now, maybe you don't quote the exact chapter and verse, but it should be something that just comes out of you, because it's who you are. It's living, it's active, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. That's what changes life. We're going to read about it in a minute. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's the Word of God that changes people's hearts and lives. That's that double-edged sword that goes in. It's great that you have testimonies. Use it. It's great that you give illustrations. Bible talks about us. Jesus talked in parables. You know, a parable is a story that illustrates a truth. It comes alongside a truth, but it's the Word of God that changes people's lives. That's what we need to be strengthened of, because it says in the end, in the last days, that people will turn to hear what their itching ears wants to hear. Who doesn't want to hear, I'll always be this or I'll always be that, it's all about me? Who doesn't want to hear that stuff? But is it what the Word says? I was talking to somebody who, just on a little funny money thing. You know, a lot of times I watch a lot of people ripped off by health and wealth teachers, and don't get me wrong, God blesses. I know that. God heals supernaturally. I know that. And I've watched so many charlatans too. And a Bible college, I was talking to this person, and I was remembering back to what my Bible college teacher told me one time that he did. And I did this when I was young in the Lord, and I'm not saying you should do this. I'm just saying I did it. Okay? So it was one of those, you know, prosperity gospel people. And so they were, you know, hey, if you give the seed money, you give whatever, that you're going to get 10 times back. You're going to get 10 times back the money. You give that money, you're going to get 10 times back. Now, God may do that, but he might bless you spiritually. It might have nothing to do with your finances. Okay? Now, if we took the little filter off their mouths, this is what we'd be saying. Give us your money so that we can get rich, and you guys can just spend whatever happens to you, happens to you. That's what they're really saying. Yeah. But people believe it, and they'll take scripture out of context. And so I called them up, and I said, hey, I said, you guys really believe that? Whatever, you know, whatever is given, you get 10 times back? Yes. Absolutely. Hey, hallelujah, praise God. Okay, fantastic. That's great. You know, I like to give, you know, $10,000. Oh, brother, that's awesome. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, so, you know, I want you guys to have $10,000. That's wonderful. I said, so just, here's my address. And they're, what are you giving me your address for? I said, I want you to send me $1,000 so that you get blessed with $10,000 back. Are you kidding me? We're not going to do that. You see what I'm saying? If they're really... Okay, don't get me started on that. But anyway, the Word must be near. It must be in our hearts. It must be on our tongue. And don't think just because I've watched folks that went to church 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and they're based in the Lord because they never took time to read the Word for yourself. Don't even listen to me. Read all of it for yourself. Don't take a little snippet or read it all. Read the New Testament. I'll give you a New Testament daily devotional, whatever you want to get that word. And when I say I really mean we, because it's the body, but you get the idea. Okay, and then it goes on to say, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And of course we know that that word confess, I think I mentioned that last time, that word is in Greek is homologeo. That just means, doesn't just mean to say it, like, okay, Jesus is Lord, I'm saved, woohoo! No, if you confess it, it means to, in Greek, it means to agree with it. It means to promise. So basically, you're saying, I agree with everything that Jesus, what you, God, what you say about your son Jesus, and I'm submitting to it. I'm promising allegiance there. It's that. It's confession. But it's confession with your mouth and believing in your heart. It's both. And it says that Jesus is Lord. The word there is kyrios. And that means supreme in authority. And so that's a question that we all have to ask. You know, that I have to ask myself. Is Jesus really the supreme authority in your life? Or is it you? Do you know what I'm saying? Or is it that relationship? Or is it that TV show? Or is it the dollar? In other words, is Jesus and his word number one in your life? Do you bend the knee to it? Now, I'm not saying it's not difficult sometimes. You know, well, everybody cheats on their taxes and lies. Well, no, they don't. Well, everybody, you know, sleeps around without being... No, they don't. Well, everybody talks like this. No, they don't. You know what I'm saying? If Jesus is Lord, he's Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. That's what he wants in your life. When you confess with your mouth, I'm agreeing with you, Lord, you died for my sins, you lived a sinless life, you're willing to take all my sins upon you, I realize that you rose from the dead, and I want to call you Lord. I want you to be my supreme authority. That's what being a Christian is. That's what you're saying. That's why Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he has to deny himself. I want my own way. Right? Jesus is saying, no, I want you to want my way. That's what being a believer is. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus, Lord, believe in your heart, God raised you from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. That's justified, never sinned. And with your mouth you confess and are saved. In other words, it's not just I believe, and live my own way. That's a lie. The Bible says you're a liar. The truth isn't in you. Anyone who says I know him and doesn't live by the truth, they're a liar. That's not my words. I'm not attacking you here if you're here today. But God's trying to tell you, you're not right with him. Okay? You're not saved. I'm not attacking you. He wants you to be saved. That's why he's letting you know. He loves you. You know, let me get down to this real quick. One of the teens who just got saved a couple of months ago. Sorry, this is all from... we spent a lot of time in chapter 10, haven't we? Mm-hmm. Sorry, guys, hear what you just said. You know, when it says confess too, I forgot about this verse, but 2 Timothy 2:19 says, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with the inscription, the Lord knows those who are his. Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. That's pretty clear. You can't tell me, listen, Charles Spurgeon said this too, and it's more than just lip service. He says, we believe everything which the Lord Jesus has taught, but we must go a step further and trust in him. It is not even enough to believe in him as being the Son of God and the anointed of the Lord. We must believe on him. Faith that saves is not believing a certain intellectual truths in your mind. That's why it says heart. Nor even believing that Jesus is a Savior, but it's resting on him, depending on him, lying with all your weight on Christ as the foundation of your hope and your salvation. Believe that Jesus can save you. Believe that he will save you. At any rate, leave the whole matter of your salvation with him in unquestioning confidence. Depend on him without fear, as to your present and eternal salvation. This is the faith that saves the soul. I like that. One of the teens said this to me that just got saved. He said, he sent me a text, and I just loved it, man. I don't know if you read it in some of the books he was reading that I gave him, or if he just came up with it, but I was like, wow. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. So whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Wow. Isn't that powerful? It's true, though. There's a, we couldn't get this video to work, and I don't know if we'll get it to work today. But you might want to turn up the volume a little bit if you can on that. I know it wasn't very loud last time, but I want to show you a video because it's important. You know, the earlier scripture says, you know, do you know him? Do you know him personally? Is it just an intellectual sense, or do you know the creator of the universe in a personal way, in a real way, in a powerful way? That's the difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing about confessing him as Lord and bending your knee to him. There's a and it's a life-changing difference. And so it's important to know if you know him. It says this, before you hit that, it says this, it says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. And I have him circled. Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. You see, you can trust him for your salvation.
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know it? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduring and strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yeah, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisee couldn't standing, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't ride in his horse in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't have him. And the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king. Amen.
That's my Jesus. That was a guy, that was from a guy by the name of S.M. Lockridge. He was an old Baptist preacher, but I'll tell you, I love that. That is so powerful. That's my Jesus. Do you know him? Because he's a life changer. He's not a lip service giver. It's not a church player. I'm sorry, it's not like that. Do you know him? But you know what? It is so true. He is a life-changing God. I wouldn't be here if he hadn't changed my life. Sue, you would not be sitting here if the Lord hadn't radically changed the way you live and thought and your emotions, your directions that you go. That's my God. That's my King. That's my Lord. It's personal. Do you know him? The Bible says right in here, anyone who trusts in him, that is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Home Fellowship Church never saved you. I'll never save you. Your parents will never save you. No one will save you. Jesus saves you. There is no other name given to heaven by which we must be saved. It's at Jesus' name. Every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the one that does that. Trusting in his righteousness, in his finished work at the cross, in his sinless life. You trust in that, in his resurrection. That's a stamp of approval. You will find out that, man, as you put your trust in him, he starts to change your life. From the inside out, you've been doing it all wrong, and you're trying to change yourself on your own and wondering why it's not working right. Jesus will do the changing for you. Do you know him? Listen, I don't even know if I have this. I'm going way off hook here. That's okay. Sorry, I'm just some of this here, guys. And I don't even know what I have on here anymore, but it doesn't matter. John chapter 10, verse 14 and 27. Listen, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And that's an intimate knowledge. I know my sheep. And my sheep what?
No.
They know me. Listen to what Jesus says. My sheep listen to my voice. That means not just hearing it with ears. That means taking it into heart. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Right? That's him being Lord, isn't it? I will follow you, Jesus, wherever. Listen, Barbara, I love you, but if you go off book somewhere, I'm still going to follow Christ. If my wife, if my kids, if you people here are my friends, I love you. If I, you follow Jesus, you follow him, and you don't ever look back. You put your hands to the plow, and you look forward. You fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the starter of your faith. He's the finisher of your faith. That's your Lord. And that's my Lord. It's personal. Do you know it? It scares me. This verse scares me. And I hope it scares you a little bit. Because Jesus says in Matthew 7, 21 to 23, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. If you're Jesus, 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 and doing whatever you want, it's lip service. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, if you believe in your heart, the actions will come forth. This is a doozy, man. I'm glad Spurgeon said it, so I don't have to. You don't have to get mad at me. Listen, he said that every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. Wow. And let me tell you what I mean by this. Let's turn the light for just a second. And the next verse is here in Romans chapter 10. He says this, guys. All right, let me finish up. Verse 12 says there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord over all, who richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter your past. I love how the King James says it. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Man, it's even footing at the cross. I don't care what you've done in the past, how terrible you have been, God will save you. I'm a whosoever. Thank you, Lord. He says this in Revelation. There's a Revelation 22:17. Can anybody look that up real quick? Revelation 22:17. If it's right, it'll apply, and if not, well, then we'll just move on and I'll try to cover it. What does it say? Mary, would you read it nice and loud? Revelation 22:17. And he says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anybody.
And the Spirit and Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life free.
I love that. Whoever wants. You know what? The sad thing is most people don't. They talk like they do, but they don't really want it. Because they don't want to have the lordship of it all. But that's part of the deal. He goes on to say, in verse 14 through 15, he says, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. And I love that. You wouldn't think how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news, but, you know, I would think how eyes or the lips or, but how beautiful the feet are those who bring the good news. When you bring God's word to people, when you bring the gospel to people, man, God says, man, that is so beautiful to me. He says, you're going to shine like stars in the heavens because you're holding out the word of truth. You're giving people a cup of cold water in a desert land. You're helping people who don't even know that they're hurt. And when it says here, you know, how beautiful are the feet of those who are bringing the good news, can I just give you a reminder? You've got good news. Do you know what I'm saying? We can all be ashamed of it, can't we? But God has given us good news. There's two things we can do that I know people do. One is, hey, I just want to let you guys know you're still in your sins. If you don't know the Lord, you're going straight to hell for all eternity. And just thought you should know.
No.
Well, that may be true, but that's not good news. That's the bad news. Now you got to give them the good news. But God has provided a way for you to be saved, to escape that wrath. To be with him forever. That's the good news. It's the gospel. It's Jesus transforms lives. And if you take that in reverse, you know, it says first we have to be sent. And every one of us is a missionary. If you're saved today, if you've really called Jesus your Lord, then you're a missionary. Well, I don't go to, like, you know, Peggy and Lester or you know, that newer couple that's coming. You're a missionary when you leave this place. You're a missionary even in here. There are people that aren't saved in here. You're a missionary right now, guys. You know, Jesus said in the end of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 28, he said that you are to go. He sent you. You're to go into all creation and make disciples of all men, teaching them to obey everything that I've told you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you're sent. And he says you're sent, and he wants you to preach. Now, listen, 2 Timothy 4:2 says to preach the word in season and out season. That doesn't mean like a minister. It means you're to share the gospel. You're to know the word. You're to live the life. You're to preach the word. You're sent by God. I want you to teach them everything I've taught you, Jesus said. You're sent. You're sent to preach the word. And then it says, and how can they hear? Listen, you need to be in prayer for people. Because if you look at the book of Revelation, even to Christians, he says, he would continually say this,
Like, and he would say this in Revelation chapter 2, 11, verse 17, verse 29, Revelation chapter 3, verse 6 and 13. He would say, if any, let me think, how what he said, hold on a second. If anyone has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. You're not going to cram this down anybody's throat. Believe me, I've been a believer 20 years. I've done lots of cramming in my day, especially early on. You can ask some of my family members. Yeah. I was trying to force feed you. You open your mouth, you even look like you might possibly, you might not even want Jesus. I'm going to shove it in there anyway. Yeah. You can't force anybody to do it. But you can't pray that they'll have an ear for the Holy Spirit to do that supernatural work. Just like God, even right here, even in our service, God spoke a supernatural word to Wendy Jo to read. He was speaking it to someone else, too, to read at the same time. Who does that? But we can pray that they would hear, have listening ears to hear. It's a spiritual battle. And not only that, we also need, once they hear, they need to believe. Confess with their heart, Jesus, Lord, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Then they'll call upon the name of the Lord. And anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And it says in verse 16, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news. That's just like today. Some do, some don't. I can't force anybody, neither can you. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? And verse 17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. That's why the word is so important. Whenever I sit with somebody for salvation, I make them read it. And I ask them, what does this mean to you? I'm letting the Holy Spirit speak to them. And I'm praying, God, give them ears to hear. And then verse 18. Hey, would somebody mind reading? I'll just tell you to stop. Would somebody mind reading? Carl, do you mind? Since you got the microphone handy. Would you just start reading in verse 18 of Romans 10, and I'll stop you at various points.
But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world.
Yeah. You know, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, hey, he said to the disciples, he said, I want you to wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then I want you to preach the gospel in Jerusalem, where you're at, in Judea, to the outskirts, and then the entire world. And in Acts chapter 17, verse 6, they're saying, man, he said, they're taking a guy by the name of Jason in Thessalonica and Paul, and they had a whole big posse after them, like a big rebellion. They're like, they went up to the magistrate and they wanted to like beat them and throw them in jail. He's like, these men have turned the whole world upside down with their teaching. That's what the gospel does. It's gone out to all the world. And that's what it's still doing even to this day. Verse 19. Go ahead, Carl. Would you mind continuing?
But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people.
Yeah, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. That's us, the Gentiles. You're not Jewish. I mean, yeah. That's us. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. Listen, Luke 19:10 says this, salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. He's come looking for you. All of us have wandered away, and he has loved you enough to go out and look for you and to bring you into his sheepfold. That's incredible. He sought you. Isn't that incredible? The only reason you love him is because he first loved you. That's your God. He's a seeking and saving God. And it says that all day long, man was held out his hands for disobedient gods and people. You know what? He's still doing that today. Right now, some of you here are being disobedient and obstinate. God's speaking something to you or something to me. And he's holding out his arms and he's saying, I want you to listen to me. I want you to obey me that you may have life and have it abundantly. No, I got this, Lord. No, I got it. We're good. No, I'll do it my way. I know what I'm doing. Some of you, God's trying to reach out and save and say, hey, you're just a religious person. You just know about me. And he's holding his arms, like almost like, you know, I just picture him on the cross. I love you this much. He's saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your souls. That's Jesus. He loves you that much. To a disobedient and obstinate people, be that no more. Bend your knee to him. Ask him to do whatever it takes, if you're a Christian, to make you obedient. Don't tell me you can't change. This is just how I am. Don't tell me that. Because my God says I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Stop telling me what you can do. And let God remind you what you can do. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. If you only do that which you can do on your own, well, you don't see God working there. But God wants to work in your life. He wants you to step out in faith. That's the currency. By faith, you trust him. And his word, you take him at his word no matter what. I go down to the store with currency, with cash, or with credit card. Not right now. Anyway, I go down with cash right now. And I buy food. That's the currency I use. With the Lord, it's faith. It's trusting in him. I'm going to trust in his word no matter what. And as you trust in him, you will receive. That's the currency. That's how it works in the spiritual kingdom. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Oh, I wish I could remember the name of it. There's a story popping in my head. I think it was 75. Was it Evans Fitzgerald? Or maybe I'm confusing that with the song. I'm gonna be reminded of this.
Evans?
Yeah, I think so. There was a...
The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald?
Yeah, there was a really long freighter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was there.
A really long freighter. I mean, it was probably the size of the Empire State Building. It was huge. It was brand new, and it was bringing some sort of ore. If I'm remembering the story...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it is the Edmund Fitzgerald.
It's the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
And it was Lake Superior.
Yes.
Gordon Lightfoot. Yes. Gordon Lightfoot wrote the song.
Yes, the Edmund Fitzgerald. Okay, yeah, yeah.
They overloaded them.
And what happened was that there was also a storm. As they were, I think, going down to Superior, Mississippi or something, they had ore and they were bringing it down. And it was this amazing, huge ship. And the freighter, and there's a testimony of the freighter behind it. What happened was they kept taking on water. And he would radio the captain, you know, as the waves got up to 25 feet on this huge ship, they're taking on water. Well, this is a brand new ship. This is the size, the length of the Empire State Building. That's huge! That's a big ship! State-of-the-art everything. And he kept calling the captain. He's like, you're taking on water. He's like, everything's fine. Everything's under control. And he kept saying, radioing the captain, and he would see wave after wave. And then finally, he said, he remembers the very last thing he said, and he kept trying to call to him and tell him, you're sinking. You're not, no, everything's fine. I'm doing great. We're fine here. And the last thing the captain remembers is, finally, it was now it was low in the water because it was also taking on water, and it was overburdened with ore, and they kept saying everything was okay. They didn't want to change anything. They just continued on their path, even though it was sinking, saying everything was okay, even though they were being warned. And then finally what happened, in one fell swoop, a big wave came over the top of that thing. He said in 10 seconds it was gone. What happened was it came over and apparently it started, the propeller was still going. And it actually took it down. And then it broke in half and everybody on board drowned. 10 seconds. He said it was on the radar, and then it was off in 10 seconds. And just like that, it sunk with everybody. Everything was dead and destroyed. And I think in that same way, Jesus is maybe saying to somebody here, you're going the wrong way. You're laid down with burdens, and the water and the winds and the waves coming over you, and you're saying, no, I'm okay. Everything's good. The last thing, if I remember he said it, I'll get the exact words, but the last thing that that captain said right before that happened was either we've got it all under control or we're holding our own. No problem, we're holding our own. Is that what you're saying to yourself? I got this under control. Don't worry about it. I'm holding my own. What's happening is you're really sinking, just like that ship. And God is saying, and is warning you, I want to save you. I want to save the crew of the cargo. I want to save you and use you for a long time. And I'm begging you to listen to Him. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now. I want to save you. I want to put you on a different path. I want to change your heart and life. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with this church or your husband or wife or friend or whatever. He wants to do that work in your life. But it comes with you bending the knee. If you confess with your heart that Jesus is Lord and believe it to me, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you're going to be saved. I just want to take 1 minute. Everybody just bow your head and just start praying. And you know what? If that's you here, if you know that you know the Lord, you start praying for those people right now that if they don't, that God would give them a listening ear because they're sinking. Stop what you're doing and pray. Bow your heads and pray right now. If there's anyone here who would like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, I just want every head bowed, and I want everybody praying. If you would like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, I would just like you to make eye contact with me. Just look up. Otherwise, I want you to pray. I just want you to make eye contact with me. And I just want to pray for you. That's all. If you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ today, thank you. If you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, as you believe and you put your faith in Him, all your sins will be forgiven. Every single one of them will wipe them clean. That's your God. Thank you. Is there anyone? Anyone else? God is calling to you. You're sinking. You're saying everything's fine. Please. Please don't let that pride get in your way. Before it's too late, asking you. Is there anyone else who want to be saved? Put your faith and trust in Him. Father God, we want to say thank you for your word that doesn't return void. We thank you that you love us enough that anyone who puts their trust in you will not be put to shame. We ask that you would do a work in each person here this year, Lord God. Those new ones who have accepted you, the young ones, Lord, the older ones, that you would start us afresh, that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us, Lord. That you would lead us in the way of everlasting life, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that we would be each a missionary, Lord. When we walk out of here, we remember we're ambassadors for you. So, Lord, please, in Jesus' name, remind us, stir us to love and good deeds. We love you and bless you and praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Before we go, is there anything the Holy Spirit was speaking this morning too? Is there anything that anybody wants to share before we leave that God's given you, Lord? Something that you want to share? An opportunity. If not, that's okay. We have to. Or if anybody has a word from the Lord, we want to hear it. But if there's something that you got, if you feel like God spoke to you, that you want to, he taught you, that you want to share, you are welcome. Oh. Hello. Yes. Okay. If you have the microphone, let's bring it to you. It's like a few more minutes, and let's be able to see what you have to say. If there's something that God taught you, if you have a word.
I just had a word that the Lord put on my heart from Revelation, and what you were speaking about, and the fact that getting our hearts right with God, that we are indeed living in the last days. I mean, does anybody here really think that they're not? Doesn't everybody believe we're living in the last days? I mean, do you think you have 100, 200, 300 years left? I think we need to see and open our eyes up and realize we are living in the very end of the day of the church. And Jesus said, this is the day when the church is going to be like the Laodiceans. It's lukewarm and cold. We see what's going on in the church. We see a lot of false doctrine. We see a lot of lukewarmness. We see a lot of coldness. And we see a lot of people living in sin and thinking that they're okay. And he says to us, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, I have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, says the Lord. So I think that in these last days, we need to realize that the church worldwide is as Jesus said it would be. And we need to have hearts that are really seeking the Lord right now for our own wretchedness and repenting of our own coldness and lukewarmness.
When did you help?
One thing that I felt
we're
that
give
I
you a mic.
Okay.
I know you hate it, but we're going to do it anyway.
The one thing I thought that I got this last year was the importance of prayer and how powerful it can be. We watched War Room. Mm-hmm. We studied James. And James had that verse about the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And if we want to live a life that pleases God, that's how we can be a righteous person. And that our prayers, if we want them to be heard, come from a person who really is living rightly in his ways.
Right.
And that there was an image given to me out of Revelation 5 that there are bowls up there of incense that are the prayers of his people. And I want my prayers to be that way. I want all our prayers to be that way. And there's a verse in Colossians, which I wrote in my hand during devotion this morning, that talks about how we can pray for each other to grow in wisdom, to grow in strength. But how, if we're just praying that for each other, will help us to build each other up. And so that's what I want for this church body. I want us to be praying for each other, not just me. I mean, a big commitment this year. Pray more, because God is really telling me through all these verses that we learned in our study that He wants us to be a praying people, not just a minute or two. I heard a statistic a couple weeks ago that Christians pray maybe 4 or 5 minutes a day, and that seems inadequate for the needs of our body. So that's just what we say.
Yes. I appreciate everybody sharing, too, what the Lord's teaching you, because the Lord uses all of us to teach, not just the quote-unquote preacher, right? He uses all of us. Yeah.
I want to encourage anyone that may be suffering during this time. I know, you know, holidays can be hard. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith,
because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. There's a great lie from the enemy that you are the only one going through what you are going through. And this, you know, verse just reminds me that I'm not the only one. You know, there's nothing new. You know, it's been suffered before. But what hit me this year were the following verses. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. And it's, I can know as I'm going through my sufferings that they are for a time, whatever that time may be. And at the end of that time, Christ himself will restore me.
Yep. Such a time as this. Good, good.
Last January, the Lord had taught me, I heard this and when I was reading and then I taught with the youth, is, you know, this is a time that everybody does New Year's resolutions and let they're out the door in a few minutes. But, you know, we took the time, it's the new year, and we fasted. It doesn't have to be a food fast. It could be, you know, anything. I mean, whatever is holding on to you, take time away from that and fast and seek the Lord what he has for you this year, the breakthrough that we could have could be amazing. And that's where it's surrender. You know, God, when we accept Christ, he does change us, but we hold on too much.
Yeah.
And he isn't going to, he's not going to force it. Sometimes, he just automatically takes the desire away.
Sometimes
he does. And then sometimes
we
really have to surrender.
Yes.
And, you know, through prayer and fasting, we really seek him and he really does. You know, we have those breakthroughs and we really surrender those things and we're broken free from the bondage of so many things. But, you know, he has amazing things for us this year and we really need to seek him and be able to hear him.
You know, there's somebody said something, I think it was Natalie, you know, talking about, hey, one more year around the sun. You know what, can I just encourage you? I don't know if the Lord was just speaking this to me, but I'll just share it. Maybe it's for one of you. Instead of just seeing it as, yeah, one more year around the sun, how about, why don't we see it as an opportunity, man? I get to spend one more year around, not the S-U-N, I get to spend one more year around the S-O-N. Wow, Lord. I can spend one more year around the sun. Fill me, Lord. Let me sit at your feet. Let me learn from you. And then let me share that to others. Your love, your mercy, your forgiveness, your strength. You to others. Lord, let this be a year that we spend around the S-O-N. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, God bless you guys. Have a great week. And we'll see you at Bible studies on Tuesdays and Thursdays.